Our second reading today, not responsive, is from Genesis, chapter 50, beginning at the 14th verse. After burying his father, Joseph returned to Egypt together with his brothers and all the others who had gone with him to bury his father. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him?" So they sent word to Joseph, saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of God of your father." When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 43 to 48. Will you please stand for the reading of the gospel? Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 48. This is the holy gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Thank you, God. One of those mornings, thank you for your hope. You have heard that it was said, "Love your neighbor and hate your enemy." But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Will you please be seated? At this time, we invite our children who are 4 years old to second grade. If they would like to go to the Reef, which is what we call children's church, you're invited to do so. It looks like you're meeting Mr. Chris over here to the right. If you are 4 years old to second grade and would like to go to the Reef, looks like you're meeting Mr. Chris. I hope you'll have a great time. Church, will you join me in prayer? Lord Jesus, we thank you for our time this morning. We thank you that you are with us here. We thank you that you want us so desperately to know you even more, that you not only came and died on the cross and redeemed us so that we could be with you, but you also left us the scripture to know you more fully by, along with all the other stories throughout history that point us directly to you. Will you draw us in this morning? Will you be with those precious little people that are in the nursery and in the Reef? And Lord, will you draw them closer to you? Will you reveal yourself more to each of us as we can absorb it today? And will you guide us and protect us and keep us? In your precious and holy name, Lord, amen. So we have been continuing on through Genesis, and we are going to wrap up our Genesis time this week before we move to 1 Thessalonians next week. But we are in Genesis chapter 50 today, verses 14 to 21. So if you like your old school Bible, like these students on the front row do, I pray that you will open it up to Genesis chapter 50. That is just right at the front of the Bible. You'll have no problem finding it. Chapter 50, and we're going to start in verse 14. But as we dig in this morning, I want to remind you where we've been. I was struck this week by the scope of history that Genesis gives us. From the time of Adam to the time we get here to Joseph's death spans, I mean, we don't know for sure, but like 2,300 years. And the whole of Scripture, if you take that time into continuation, and we kind of get to where the epistles are being written or the pastorals are being written, it's about 4,100 years. So this is really half of the historical look of the Scriptures has already happened as we get to Genesis chapter 50. And then we're not even going to get to Joseph's death here, but as Joseph wraps up chapter 50, or Moses wraps up chapter 50, that breadth of history has been covered in this first book of the Scripture. And Moses writing it is just genius in the way that he rolls it out to us. And so we started with Adam and Eve, and we walked on down through Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and now Joseph. And we're finishing up this time with Joseph. Joseph and his brothers have reconciled, or so we thought. Jacob is now in Israel or in Egypt. They've all been in Egypt together, and that's where we pick up in verse 14, and it says, after burying his father, so Jacob now has died, and they had this whole procession of Egyptian hierarchy along with Joseph and his brothers and their families went back up into Israel and buried Joseph, or buried Jacob, and returned. He and his brothers and all who had gone with him all returned back to Egypt. And there was about 70 or 80 of them at this time. So think about that as then maybe you'll continue your reading on into Exodus and on. But think about that this whole series, this whole group of people that ended up coming out of Egypt later that turned into several hundreds of thousands or million of people started with the 70 folks in Egypt. And 400 years later had grown and multiplied and strengthened. So Joseph and his brothers, if you remember last week, had reconciled. Joseph had brought them in. They had had this reconciliation moment. Joseph was taking care of his family, his brothers who had done him so wrong. They got Jacob down to Egypt. They had settled in Goshen, and they were starting to flourish there. They were starting to really grow and starting to really prosper there, even in this time of famine that we read about. But not unlike us, it doesn't take long to forget that reconciliation happened. Doesn't take long to forget that things are going right and we don't need to mess them up. Maybe you should take a look at verse 15 of chapter 50 with me. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did?" Would you feel that way maybe? Would you be worried about that, thinking that your father was in place, that he was the one that was kind of standing between you and this brother that was the head of Egypt that could just absolutely stomp you into dust? Remembering back to what you had done by throwing him in a pit, by selling him into slavery. I mean, it is just awful. They can't see the story. Even though Joseph has continued to show them that story, he's continued to care. He's continued to be gracious. He's continued to be generous. He's continued to provide. He's given them all the hope in the world to think that this is exactly truthful, that he is not messing around. And yet, just like me, they're short-sighted. They're not in control. And they start to get worried about who first? Themselves. That's what I do too. Is that what you do? I start to worry about myself. My family and I got to go on a little road trip this week. We were gone for just a few days in the middle of the week. And where we were staying outside of Boone, we went in one way one day. And, you know, we pay attention to GPS. So you sometimes wonder, can I really get myself back there, right? But then after that first day we went in, it started to rain, and it rained wonderfully while we were there. But after that first day in, and I thought I knew my way to the house, the GPS kept taking us in and out a different way, and I couldn't figure it out. I could not figure out why in the world it was taking us the other way. It felt way more curvy, you know, but my family was all retching in the back seat of the car by the time we got to the top of the mountain. It was just, I couldn't figure it out, and I started to get frustrated. Well, I realized about day 2.5 or 3, we weren't there that long, but day 2.5 or 3, that the rain had caused a washout on the road we came in on. And GPS had been routing us so that we didn't get screwed around in this washout of the road that was there on the mountain. I had no idea. I couldn't see the big picture. Thank goodness Dr. Google could see the big picture. And Google Maps was routing me the way I need to go. Have you ever had that happen to you in a detour situation where you get rerouted and you're just frustrated? This is taking way longer than it should. I'm stuck in this traffic. All I can see is the 4 cars in front of me, and I'm mad at every one of them because they're in front of me. I have no other reason to be mad at them. But I'm mad. I can't get out. I now need to go to the restroom. There's nowhere to go do that either. I mean, have you been in that moment where you're just frustrated by the detour? To find out later that there was good reason for the detour. There was good reason to have that sort of that eye in the sky that was rerouting you, that was showing you the way. Well, I think Joseph's brothers here are experiencing maybe what we do was we have to face a detour. They had no idea. They had no idea the scope of the story they were living out. They had no idea of the depth of the love that God had showered on Joseph and the way that he had transformed and changed Joseph. And so they came back to him and they were so worried about what he might do to them, the power that he had that they don't. So they sent word to Joseph saying, now, if that doesn't strike you as you read the scripture in a funny way in your ear, it should. I want you to start to tune into those things. So they sent word to Joseph. They didn't go see him. They sent word to him. Are you catching even that part of it? They sent word to him. Let's send the messenger and see what he does to the messenger first. You ever done that when were you an older brother or sister and you'd sent your little brother to go test the waters with your parents? Yeah, done that. He's got the scars from that. I'm kidding. But they sent somebody ahead. Let's see what he does to the messenger. So they sent word to Joseph saying, your father left us these instructions. It's just so funny. As we've gotten to know Moses and his writing a little bit here in Genesis, can you hear the sarcasm or the intensity in the words? So they sent word to Joseph, your father left us these instructions. Your father, not our father, not the one that we got to live with for the 30 years or whatever you were in Egypt without us, your father left us these instructions. I mean, just the manipulation there already. Your father left us these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. Verse 17, I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. They were saying, Jacob, our dad, is asking this of you. They were really just trying to be sure, right? They were so worried about themselves. Have you done something that you just can't believe that somebody has forgiven you for? Maybe it's God. Maybe it's a good friend. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's a family member. But it's hard to believe sometimes that we can be forgiven, isn't it? And they had so wronged their brother. They so wronged him. They were so afraid that he would finally, after his father's death, seek revenge. And they knew that he had the power to absolutely crush them. He had the power to absolutely crush them. They were remembering the evil that they had done. They were remembering the wrongs that they had committed. They hadn't received forgiveness.
Joseph had said, we're moving on. God did this for a purpose. He said that back a few chapters ago. And he had forgiven them, and he brought them in, and he was caring for them and loving them unconditionally in so many ways. And yet they said, your father commands this almost of you. Forgive them. Please forgive their sins. And now look at what happens at the end of verse 17. When their message came to him, what did Joseph do? Joseph just wept. Joseph just wept. Because he knew a couple things, that God turns evil into good. He knew that God can do it. He had lived it. He had lived that God turns evil into good. But he'd also lived this next idea, and that God's sovereign purpose is greater than human sin. He lived that God's sovereign purpose is greater than human sin, knowing that God turns evil into good. His brothers hadn't grasped that yet. His brothers were still too self-consumed. They were too self-absorbed. They were too self-worried. I don't think it's too much to say that they were absolutely freaking out. Probably on that whole walk back from Israel into Egypt, knowing that they were coming back into Joseph's sphere of control and influence and rule. Probably every step on the way back, their stomachs clenched tighter and tighter and tighter until they were willing to say this to Joseph, your father has asked this of you. And Joseph just wept. End of verse 17. It made me wonder, what was Joseph feeling? Was he disappointed? Was he frustrated with his brothers? Was he sad that even through his father's death, that it just feels like things maybe hadn't changed a whole lot with his brothers? Was he weeping because maybe he somehow hadn't communicated enough to his family that he was just going to care for them? What was it that caused Joseph to weep? Maybe it was knowing how much God had changed him and wishing that for his siblings. I don't know that I have a great answer. I wondered over and over this week as I was thinking this through, what caused Joseph's weeping there? His brothers then came after they knew that their messenger had laid a lead turkey in Joseph's lap. And they came before him and just called out, "We are your slaves. We are your slaves." They laid on their faces and said, "We are your slaves." Now, if you've read much further in the scriptures than just this, does that remind you of a story that Jesus tells? Of maybe the prodigal? Of the prodigal son and when he came home, what he said to his father? I think all these stories, as you know, I think all these stories are so linked together. We can't miss these stories, how they're linked. But they said, "We are your slaves," verse 18. "We are your slaves." But Joseph said to them, look what he said to them, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." And I'm imagining this probably in my sanctified imagination a little bit, but I'm imagining Joseph saying this with the tears in his eyes, you know. Probably not the only time he might have wept about this, but with the tears in his eyes as he's saying this to his brothers, because he does love them and care for them and has forgiven them and has really hoped that relationship was restored and we were just moving on. As you're forgiven, as you've been forgiven, as you have forgiven others, have you allowed that relationship to truly be restored and move on? Or do you still hold all that? And if you still hold all that, have you really forgiven? Have you really received that forgiveness? And how does that play into your life with a God who forgives? One of the things that we've seen already in these first 50 chapters of the Bible is that we worship a God and we trust in a God and we think about a God and we study a God and we spend time with a God who forgives. who moves on, who wants restoration. Are we a church? Are we a family? Are we individuals who want that same restoration enough to allow it? Are you willing to allow that restoration in your life by receiving forgiveness? Because if you can't receive the forgiveness, I challenge you to say, I don't think you can give it either. I don't think you have it to give if we haven't received it. I think that's what Joseph is going to continue to teach us here. He knows that God turns evil into good, and he knows that God's sovereign purpose is greater than human sin. But because he believes that, he knows that he's been transformed by God's sovereign purpose, God's love in his life. And so he can say what he says next in verse 19, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Verse 20, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Joseph received the love of God. Joseph knew the turkey he'd been when he was a younger man and the way he treated his brothers and his family. He knew all that. He had experienced being thrown in the pit. He had experienced being a slave. He had experienced being a prisoner. And yet he knew that God's purpose in his life was willing to turn evil into good. And his purpose, God's purpose, it was greater than human sin. And because of that, God's grace frees us from the need for revenge. And so Joseph simply moved forward. Joseph said, I have been so transformed by who God is and what he's done that I'm moving forward. And even though, brothers, you intended me harm, God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Joseph stood in the gap of this famine, this 7-year famine that had taken on the whole land, remember? And he had stored up and he was taking care of not only his brothers and their families and his dad, but the whole of the region. God had used this awfulness for good, because his sovereign purpose is greater than human sin, and his grace freed Joseph from the need for revenge. Joseph trusted God to take care of all of that. When you're frustrated and hurt, do you trust God to take care of it for you? Or is that when you start pulling out your baseball bat and run around the house? Is that when you pull out the words in your mouth and the things you say just aren't as kind as they were? Is that when you get all upset and offended and you lash out? Is that trusting in God? Is that receiving his forgiveness for the things that you've done and I've done? Is that allowing his grace to free us from that need for revenge? When you feel that need for revenge, does that bless you? It doesn't bless me. As much as I have a hard time controlling that sometimes, it doesn't bless me to feel that need for revenge. I just am angry and hurt and frustrated. And how does that bless you? How does that bless the people around you? So verse 21, so then don't be afraid. And then look what Joseph says next. I will provide for you and your children. I'll provide for you and your children. I'll take care of you and your babies. I'll take care of you and those with you. What a contrast to me as we think about this story from Genesis, from the very beginning of Genesis to now. And think about what Adam was faced when he was faced with temptation. I mean, there's no doubt that Joseph thought, I could stomp my brothers. Maybe I could stomp them lightly, but I could stomp my brothers here if I wanted to. And when he was faced with that, he said, no, I'm not going to do that. Look at what I'm going to do. I'm going to care for you and your children, is what he said to his brothers. Think of what Adam did when he was faced with temptation. He wanted to be God. He wanted that knowledge of good and evil. He wanted all of that. And so he grabbed it and he took of the apple. And then what happened? Sin entered the world and the fall happened. He ushered in that sin and death. But Joseph humbling himself here before the Lord, look what he did. He saved lives. He did God's work and his purpose. And he did that because God's redemption leads us to care for others. God turns evil into good. His sovereign purpose is greater than human sin. His grace frees us from the need for revenge. And his redemption leads us to care for others. And he said, I will care for not only you, but I will care for your children. And then he continued to reassure them and speak kindly to them. His grace moved from forgiveness into active generosity. And I think that's a challenge for us, right? Receiving God's grace has a purpose. And that purpose is to move into active generosity and compassion. Active generosity and compassion. And that can be anything from the way you treat your neighbors and help them out around and know them and call them by name and treat them well to, are we helping care for folks in need? Are we feeding the poor? Are we taking care of those who can't take care of themselves? But it can also be, I've been truly hurt and wronged by someone, and how am I thinking about the way that I'm going to interact with them? Because we can't miss what's happening here and who Joseph's talking to. He's talking to those that caused him into slavery and into prison. And we aren't talking about just a few days. We're talking about years of slavery and imprisonment before he received God's graceful move into Pharaoh's working. I will provide for you and for your children is the compassion that pours out of the transformation that Joseph felt because of how he knew and understood who God is. How does that work for you? That's the question I've been asking myself as I look in the mirror at myself this week. How does God's grace and his kindness and his forgiveness transform you? How does it transform you? How are you challenged by that? How are you grown by that? How are you transformed by that? Do you care about that? Because we know, we've seen, biblical forgiveness is not merely the absence of bitterness. It also seeks the good of those who've wronged us. Joseph was absolutely wronged, deeply, awfully, by his brothers who should have been the brothers who love him and care for him and are closest to him. And that's the one, and those are the ones that he is extending this forgiveness and grace to. And this then compassion and care and kindness to you. God turns evil into good. His sovereign purpose is greater than human sin. Grace frees us from the need for revenge. His redemption leads us to care for others. Are we going to be transformed by God through the person of Jesus and what he did for us? The story's the same from the very beginning of the scriptures. God wants to restore and refit us. God wants us to feel his love and forgiveness, and then he wants us to turn that into forgiveness rather than to pursue revenge as we live this world and help him usher in his kingdom. So you say, okay, Kurt, so what? What do I do now? I have three questions. You can see them here on the screen. Where in my life do I need to trust God with something I don't understand? where in my life do I need to trust in God with something I don't understand? Second question, what would it look like for me to respond to someone who has hurt me with unexpected kindness? And third question, am I allowing a painful experience to define my identity or my future? I would love for you to think through those questions this week. I would love for you to spend some more time reading through the end of Genesis and really thinking about how has God communicated to us through Moses from the very beginning his story that we need to be paying attention to as we read the rest of the scriptures over and over and over. Will you pray with me? Lord, thank you for our time together this morning. Thank you that you care for us and are with us. Thank you that you guide us and protect us and keep us. Lord, will you allow us to be challenged by you, but by the stories that you have left for us to understand, the people that you have given us as examples. Will you let us pursue you more fully, Lord? And thank you for pursuing each and every one of us. If there's somebody in this room this morning, Lord, that needs to know that forgiveness, that needs to know that redemption, Lord, will you communicate that to them? To the rest of us, Father, who need to know that and need to remember that, will you remind us of that as well? Will you help us move forward, Father? Will you help us to ask ourselves difficult questions? And I thank you, Lord, that we've gotten to get a better understanding of who you are through this very first book of your Holy Scriptures. In your precious and holy name, amen.